The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government can exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Mueller.
And now, low energy Randy Rainbow in his stupid rendition of the Cell Block Tango. No collusion.
Trump. Six. Flip. Cuckoo. Huckabee. Mueller. Trump. Six. Flip. Cuckoo. Huckabee. Mueller. Trump. Six. Flip.
They were the best that he could find. And then you guessed it, they got arrested.
And now he's losing his freaking mind.
Trump 6, Huckabee Mueller.
The greatest witch hunt in history has dropped houses on six of the president's personal associates.
So far.
Including Roger Stone, who's been indicted on multiple charges, including lying, obstructing justice, witness tampering, and lacking basic fashion sense.
Six.
Before Roger came Mike Flynn, George Papadopoulos, and Rick Gates. Then on the same day Michael Cohen pleaded guilty, Donald Trump's campaign chairman Paul Manafort was convicted on 8 felony counts, only because on the other 10 counts, the jury was hung. And incidentally, the only thing in that sentence that will ever be described as hung.
They had it coming. They had it coming. They got the Machiavelli and
look it up.
Just wait and see next. Who will it be next?
Oh, God, I'll laugh if it's Kellyanne.
Trump, six, flip, Huckabee Mueller.
You know how people have these little habits that get you down? Like cracking their knuckles or implicating you in a criminal conspiracy to mislead the American people in order to influence an election? DT hates that. So it's no wonder that he's violated Title 18 United States Code 1512 by intimidating witnesses like his former fixer who's already cooperating with the feds. And there's no telling who might flip on Donald next.
Flip.
Thank God he can at least count on the loyalty of his longtime pal Roger Stone, who swears he would never do his boo like that. And I mean, imagine a fine, upstanding, delusional rat bastard con artist and self-described dirty trickster who dresses like a Dick Tracy villain and idolizes Richard Nixon going back on his word in an act of self-interest? I mean, I really wouldn't worry about it, Donald.
He has it coming. He has it coming.
He better find a hiding place.
He's changing color, 'cause here comes Mueller.
At least his jumpsuit will match his face. Oh, it's lonely being individual one these days. Even his own wife is starting to turn on him. Luckily, he has the genuine support of true and unbiased sycophantic media whores. Like Giuliani.
Cuckoo.
And press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah, let's cut the shit.
Huckabee.
This is now the sixth person directly connected to the president in the Mueller investigation. What is your reaction? Are you scared? You look scared.
Real simple. This has nothing to do with the president and certainly nothing to do with the White House.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you guys are totally fine.
She has it coming. They have it coming. While Giuliani's cracking
Jones. As was predicted, they'll be convicted. Mueller. Is it collusion or just a hoax?
President Trump is absolutely right. This is a witch hunt.
The dirty bomb, 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 bomb. The dirty bomb.
Wait, just let Melania go free.
Girl's been through enough.
But she's complicit, so she'll just visit. I hope for her sake, not conjugally.
Trump. Six.
Flip. Cuckoo. Huckabee. Mueller.
No collusion.
Oh my God, how much I love Randy Rainbow. I wish I could just take today's hour and just play Randy Rainbow videos back to back. Because it'll make me feel better. He is a gift to us all. And, you know, I was lucky enough to go see him in the, his live show when he was here in Fort Lauderdale a couple of months ago. Not fully fleshed out. I mean, this is what he does, these videos, but he played off them beautifully. And we need to support talent like this because he's a genius and he makes me laugh. And, he's just spot on. RandyRainbow.com is where you find him on Facebook, on Twitter, on all that. I don't even know where to go from here. I've had a rough weekend. As has most of the rest of the country. If you're, hopefully you're keeping warm wherever you are, even here in South Florida, it's fucking cold. And I know, look, when it's, what is it? It's telling me it's, what's the temperature here? I had to look, right? You know, it says it's 68 degrees, but it feels, I know. And you're going, oh my God, give me a break. It feels a lot colder because it's, because it's so damp, there's so much humidity down here. But I got nothing. For those of you who are like, you know, 64 degrees below zero, you know, hey, I apologize. I am wearing long sleeves today, and I did need a jacket when I went out this morning. But yeah, oh, shut up. Sorry about that. But that's not what's got me down. I don't even know where to begin, so maybe I just won't. I'll talk about what's happened today on Twitter. I saw that Ted Lieu, and I'm gonna talk with Gotta Laugh about this, but I just gotta get it out because it's just one of a million things weighing heavily on me right now. Ted Lieu came out and endorsed Kamala Harris for president in 2020. Now, look, I'm all for people supporting the candidates that they choose. I just think it's a bit early for someone, especially someone of Ted Lieu's caliber, to jump in and make an endorsement so early. Now, Ted Lieu being Ted Lieu, he's just propping up Kamala Harris. He says, you know, he's known her for years. They're friends. He trusts her. He loves her. Good for him. And the other thing to know is, I don't think you'll ever hear Ted Lieu tearing down one of the other Democrats who's running. But that seems to be what's happening on the interwebs. I know the internet is an ugly, dark, ugly, unfeeling place. But oh my God. So I posted something to, you know, I tweeted back to Ted Lieu, something to the effect of, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know, you felt the need to jump in so early before everyone who's running has had a chance to declare their candidacy and make clear their positions. And the responses I got ranged from things like, you know, the typical MAGA bullshit, to these horrific attacks on Kamala Harris. Now, I said nothing negative about Kamala Harris. And to be honest, I had already kind of liked her. There are a lot of things I do like about her. Unfortunately, the more I've learned about her past as Attorney General of California, she did a bunch of things that I'm not thrilled about. So at this point, she's not my first choice. There are a lot who are lower on the ladder than she is. She's not my last choice. She's somewhere in the middle for me. But again, you know, right now I still support Bernie Sanders. And I think last week I said something about with Will Bunch, who again was a big Bernie Sanders supporter and still supports his policies and everything, but he doesn't think he should run. You know, I said age is an issue until I learned that Nelson Mandela was a year older than Bernie will be in 2020 when he took office, and he served just fine, served out his entire term. So just saying, we wouldn't have this, you know, big push on the whole Democratic platform wouldn't have changed without Bernie Sanders. We wouldn't be talking about Medicare for all. We wouldn't be talking about tuition-free community college and state universities. We wouldn't be talking about half the things we're talking about. And so it's really disconcerting. It is only January 2019. Primaries don't kick off for more than a year. Seriously, primary season, the first primary, you know what, I could be wrong. I believe the first primary races don't begin until about a year from now. But again, I could be wrong. We still have a long way to go, is the point I'm trying to make. And on the Democratic side, why don't we celebrate the fact that we've got so many great people who are willing to step up and run? Now, granted, a lot of them fall short. What's his name from Starbucks? Schultz. I know nothing, Sergeant Schultz. He's, you know, this is a guy who claims to be a lifelong Democrat, yet he's running as an independent centrist. And he says the reason he's running is because AOC, her ideas are so radical. Give me a fucking break. If Howard Schultz runs for president as an independent, we're probably guaranteed of a third term for Donald Trump. So our second term for Donald Trump, God forbid. It seems like it's been two terms already. You know, feel free to ridicule Howard, whatever his name is, Schultz, as much as you want. He deserves it. For those who are running as Democrats, let's not eat our own. How about we stick together and agree that whoever we nominate, I'm pausing before I say even Joe Biden, but even Joe Biden would be better than Donald Trump. Seriously. I mean, we've got to look at the bigger picture and realize that we've got to do everything we can to get Donald Trump out of office, because I don't, frankly, I worry that we're not going to survive the next 2 years, let alone another four after that. The ugly, I blocked so many people on Twitter because some the ugliness that was coming at me, not only because I you know asked Ted Lieu why so early, but because I said something nice about Bernie Sanders. God forbid, you know, you speak about Bernie Sanders with the respect he deserves, in terms of all that he's accomplished in all his years. And oh my God, you get attacked from the left and the right. There are so many things bothering me now. I'm not going to get into a laundry list of them. They'll still be there, unfortunately, tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It's so ugly and it's so early. And I don't know if I'm going to make it. I really don't. I don't know. All right. I'll tell you, I'll save the rest of this to talk with Gotta Laugh about. We'll get to the news before we play What's News. I know I'm not going to do it live today. A couple of bits of breaking news. The biggest one being that Stacey Abrams has been tapped by the Democrats to provide the Democratic response to Donald Trump's State of the Union address. It's going to be February 5th. Stacey Abrams, good choice. And shortly before that news broke, the other person that she's roundly grouped in with, Andrew Gillum, who was the Stacey Abrams, of course, barely lost her race for the governor's seat in Georgia. Andrew Gillum barely lost his race for the governor's seat here in Florida. So Stacey Abrams is, well, she's going to deliver the State of the Union Democratic response. Andrew Gillum signed on as a contributor to CNN. Oh, yeah. And Jeff Flake, he signed on as a contributor to CBS. God, we're so fucked. We'll be back with Gotta Laugh next.
I read the news today. Oh, boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The government shutdown officially ended on Friday when Donald Trump finally agreed to a three-week continuing resolution with no funds for a wall. Exactly what he was offered and rejected before the shutdown began. We're now getting a look at the consequences of the shutdown. It cost the economy $11 billion in total, $3 billion of which is permanently gone, this according to the Congressional Budget Office. According to White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, Trump is prepared to shut it down again or declare a national emergency if his wall ransom isn't paid. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders held her first press briefing since December 18th on Monday, and reporters opened with questions about the new February 15th deadline. Although these sessions don't happen regularly these days, in keeping with tradition, no real news was broken. Regarding Trump's threat to declare a national emergency if he doesn't get his way come February 15th, NBC's Hallie Jackson asked how a real emergency could wait 3 weeks.
If the president truly believes that what's happening is an emergency, why would he wait 3 weeks to declare it?
Because it's real simple. As the president has said, as most of us in the administration have said on a number of fronts, the best fix is to be able to do it legislatively. But if Congress, particularly Democrats in Congress, would rather play political games and actually do their jobs and fix the problem, then the president will be forced to take a different path. Again, ideally that doesn't happen, but we'll see what happens.
Neither CNN nor MSNBC carried the briefing live. Good for them. On Monday, we also heard from Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, who said he's been, quote, fully briefed on the Mueller probe and that the investigation is winding down.
You know, I've been fully briefed on the investigation, and, you know, I look forward to Director Mueller delivering the final report, and I really am not going to talk about open and ongoing investigation otherwise, but, you know, sort of the statements that I made were as a private citizen, only with publicly available information, and I am comfortable that the decisions that were made are going to be reviewed, you know, either through the various means we have, but right now, you know, the investigation is, I think, close to being completed, and I hope that we can get the report from Director Mueller as soon as we as possible.
Some Democrats in Congress aren't so sure. They think Whitaker, who previously had been publicly hostile to the probe he's now in charge of, is just spouting off Trump administration talking points. Whitaker made his comments right after bipartisan legislation was filed that would require Mueller to summarize his findings in a report to Congress and the public.
Baby, it's cold outside.
A deep freeze, which could be the coldest in a generation, is due to hit 55 million Americans over the next few days. The air will be so cold that the National Weather Service in Des Moines, Iowa, has warned that if people go outside, they should, quote, avoid taking deep breaths and minimize talking. Wow. It's predicted that Wednesday could be the coldest day ever recorded in Chicago. Its all-time coldest temperature record currently stands at 27 degrees below zero. Wind chills as low as 55 below are likely in the city, and some areas in the northern plains could see wind chills of 64 degrees below zero. It won't be quite so bad on the East Coast, where lows Wednesday night will reach 6 in New York, 7 in Philadelphia, and 9 in Washington, D.C. And you wonder why I live in Florida. Donald Trump used the freezing weather to once again dismiss climate change as a myth, sending out a tweet calling for, quote, global whamming to come back fast. All righty then. It's back on. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has officially invited Donald Trump to give the State of the Union address on February 5th. Candidates are ramping up for the 2020 presidential primaries on 60 Minutes Sunday night. Former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz said he's considering a run, but the alleged lifelong Democrat said he'd run as a centrist independent. Just a few minutes into his book tour event in New York City Monday night, a heckler stood up and spoke for a lot of us.
I wanted to clarify the word independent, which I view merely as a designation on the ballot.
And don't help elect Trump, you egotistical billionaire.
The guy then shouted, go back to getting ratioed on Twitter. Go back to Davos with the other billionaire elite who think they know how to run the world. After her campaign kickoff in Oakland, California over the weekend, Senator Kamala Harris was given the preferred candidate treatment by CNN with a televised town hall Monday night. She defended her prosecutorial background, said she won't vote for a wall under any circumstances, and took a question about the chances of a woman beating Trump in 2020.
Senator, many Democrats that I've spoken with agree that the primary objective for 2020 is to nominate the candidate that has the best shot of defeating Donald Trump. Some have also said that, given what occurred in 2016 and the current political climate, that a male nominee will have a better chance this time around than a female nominee. Would you please respond to this so that this man has a response ready the next time a man tries to mansplain why a man would make a better nominee?
And that's a bit of What's News for Now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
She makes weekends easier to end, if that makes sense. All right, Nicole Sandler back with you. And yes, Laffy is here. We kind of get her on the phone. Hello.
Well, yes, you've reached the Trump shutdown version 2.0 hotline.
Boy. Oh, God. Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump will experience a Melania shutdown. Never mind. That's not necessary. Trump's little mushroom shut down years ago.
I think the button's stuck. Yes.
Press 2 if you think Trump needs to declare a national emergency to have Fox News shut off.
Yes.
Press 3 if you think we're long overdue for a Trump shut up.
Oh, my God. I still... You know, occasionally wake up and think that this has all been a nightmare, that this can't be for real. I hate to say it. I had a story that I had to cut from What's News because it was too long. Let me see if I can find it because it's just one, and it's a little, it won't get any reporting anywhere because of all the actual shit going on. The watchdog group Transparency International reports on corruption and its threat to democracy every year. They do a index. So the new
I know that report. Yeah,
the latest report on 2018 Global Corruption Index was released today. The United States slipped 4 points, dropping out of the top 20 countries for the first time since 2011.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it's just one more thing. We are losing our standing in the world community. And look, I never thought we necessarily needed, to be the leader of the free world. I thought enough of being the world's policeman. But we should be a leader, one of the leaders. We should be, we're a country who did more to help the people of the world than any other nation. After all, we're the wealthiest nation on the planet, and we're not acting like it. We're acting like Donald Trump, which is a low-life piece of shit.
We should be at least some kind of role model for, you know, freedom and democracy and equality and all of the stuff that we used to be known for.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that?
I do remember that. I remember, give us your,
retired report.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm trying to read something in the chat room that I shouldn't be doing right now.
I do that all the time. You're coming through in the last minute or so, sort of distorted.
Am
just
I?
So you know.
All right.
So if it gets really bad, I'll tell you.
Okay, good. I'm just bringing down my level a little bit. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, maybe it could be that. Yeah, I have no idea. It happened when you were playing audio too. Huh. So whatever. Okay. Anyway, you want to get into the tweeties?
Sure, why not? Let's give it a shot. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So each week we sort of, we discuss the news of the day, but we do it through the veil of Laffy's Twitter feed. Because when you have a Twitter feed like that, it really does cover the news of the day, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the insane.
Exactly. What I do is I try to take the temperature of Twitter And I see a whole lot of tweets drop at a glance because of TweetDeck. Like I set up my column so I can see journalists and lawyers and you know, TV personalities and people I don't know and people I do know and, you know, all of it. So I can just sort of get a smattering of everything. But, oh, and I do want to – I'm right there with you on the Ted Lieu thing. I love him.
So do I.
But I – and he wasn't the only one. Somebody else came out for her. I wish I could remember who it was. And I was like, wait, you guys, we haven't even – seen who else is running, and we haven't had one debate. We don't even know what people stand for.
Exactly.
We don't know what policy positions
exactly.
they're taking. How can you go right ahead and support somebody that strongly and give your endorsement to somebody before you know? I mean, maybe that person will have some kind of a scandal that you don't know about. Maybe
right. Maybe
you disagree with more things than you think.
And
you know,
anything can happen over the next 2 years. I mean, it's just very early. And again,
yeah.
I don't think Ted Lieu is going to go around bad-mouthing the other Democratic candidates.
No. I agree.
He's more mature than that. But but again, some of the people who, when I questioned this, I blocked the people. But the memes that were out there about Kamala Harris are just so ugly and so disturbing. It freaks me out, frankly. It's getting to me. That plus, Zerlina Maxwell, who I generally like, she tweeted something about Howard Schultz, and she said, this just goes to prove that, any white man is going to be given, I need to find her. I don't want to misquote her, but she turned it into a racial thing. And I'm sorry. Some things are not about race. Some things are just bullshit.
Everything seems to be coming controversial during an election year. You know, you could say hi and someone will say, oh, so you're imitating me. You know, what I mean?
Right.
You know, it just, everything becomes a fight and it's insane. It's insane. And people tend to say things they wouldn't ordinarily say for some reason. I'm not talking about argumentative things. I'm just saying what you're saying, Zerlina, I don't know what she tweeted, but you know, is it something she would ordinarily say? Is she feeling passionate about this for a reason? Whatever it was, I'm just saying in general, people tend to do that more during election years, and then everybody responds and it gets crazy. I did see the entire
here's the tweet I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
She said the response to Howard Schultz is another reminder that white men get taken seriously even when they have no qualifications whatsoever. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Oh, okay. Because I know there's been a lot of tweets about this. He's been given a lot of airspace, both on
because
Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's because he's a billionaire, because he can pay his way through, not because he's a white man. There's lots of white men who don't get the time of day.
He's a white billionaire. He's another like Trump is a white billionaire, and what's his name? Bloomberg is a white billionaire.
And they
take up our airspace. They run for office out of nowhere. Bloomberg isn't out of nowhere anymore, but I think that's what she's getting at, that comparison. So I don't see it quite the way you do, but I can understand how you know seeing that isolated like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can
understand.
You know,
that.
Look, I agree that Howard Schultz is being given an inordinate amount of airtime, and and I don't understand why, but I do. But you know, it's not all about race. I get that that there's racism in America. I get it. But not everything is only attributable to that.
Right. Okay. But I wanted to address Kamala Harris.
Okay.
Did you happen to see the town hall meeting?
I did. I saw most of it.
Yeah. Now here is my take. I'm for nobody right now. I refuse to be for anybody
right now. Right. Exactly.
I mean, as much as, you know, I supported Bernie Sanders, I'm not sure it's his time anymore. I would maybe like to see some new faces in there, but I love his ideas, so I support him. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, but with her, you're exactly right. She did pick up on the education and healthcare aspects of his ideas.
That's right.
And AOC, yay.
Yep.
She came off very passionate and likable and relatable and well-spoken, able to handle things, polished, ready for it, prepared. But, you know, and I was like, if I'd never heard of her and if I didn't know anything, I'd go, wow, I am impressed. I was impressed. I'm not going to say I would have been. Yeah. I was impressed. Uh-huh. But this was just her entree. This was like, hi, here's my vision. But it wasn't, she didn't directly answer a couple of the questions. Somebody said, what will you do about XYZ? Mm-hmm. And she gave her stump speech. So, and that's fine because it was an intro. It was her first town hall. It was, here's who I am. Here's what I want you to see in me. Here's my PR version. That's how I took it. And she also answered some questions really well. But at this stage, and this is what I'm getting to, at this stage, and this comes back to Ted Lieu again, this is all we've got right now. We're not seeing an expansive explanation of her policy positions or anybody else's for that matter, other than people we've already heard, like somebody like Bernie Sanders you name it. Even Elizabeth Warren is coming out with some new stuff.
Yeah.
And we pretty,
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's good stuff. But we pretty much know where she stands on things. We've heard her policy positions a lot. We'll be hearing more. But with somebody like Kamala Harris, we don't know her that well yet. We may think we do. I don't think I do.
No, there's a lot still to be, to come out. And like I said, I was always really impressed with her. Sadly, I'm reading some stuff about her record. Just like, when I read about Beto O'Rourke's voting record, it was a bit disconcerting. Mm-hmm. There are some mm-hmm. things in Kamala Harris's past that I'm not thrilled about. I've got, let me see if I can find this. For instance, this is in no way to attack Kamala Harris.
Oh, no, of course not. I very much like her.
So do I. But this, I don't have a date on it. All I know is it's from the archives. And just here, listen to her talking about going after parents for their kids' truancy.
I would not be standing here were it not for the education I received. And I know many of us will say the same thing. And I believe a child going without an education is tantamount to a crime. So I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. Well, this was a little controversial in San Francisco. And frankly, my staff went bananas. They were very concerned because we didn't know at the time whether I was going to have an opponent in my reelection race. But I said, look, I'm done. This is a serious issue, and I've got a little political capital, and I'm going to spend some of it. And this is what we did. We recognized that in that initiative, as a prosecutor in law enforcement, I have a huge stick. The school district has got a carrot. Let's work in tandem around our collective objective and goal, which is to get those kids in school. So, to that end, on my letterhead, now let me tell you something about my letterhead. When you're the DA of a major city in this country, usually the job comes with a badge. And there is often an artistic rendering of said badge on your stationery. So, I sent a letter out on my letterhead to every parent in the school district.
She's very proud of this.
Outlining the connection that was statistically proven between elementary school truancy, high school dropouts, who will become a victim of crime, and who will become a perpetrator of crime. We sent it out to everyone. A friend of mine actually called me and he said, Kamala, my wife got the letter. She freaked out. She brought all the kids into the living room, held up the letter, said, if you don't go to school, Kamala's going to put you and me in jail. Yes, we achieved intended effect.
Sorry.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's just
I've
wrong.
I worked in schools for, teaching and for well over a decade, almost two decades. And prosecuting parents, I know what the parents are up against. I know that they're also negligent, but prosecuting them wouldn't have been the answer.
No. No, and it seems like, she's going after poor parents. It just rubbed me the wrong way. And there's just more stuff like that.
Right. And I was talking about this with Mr. Laffey last night. Yeah. I was saying, cause he was really impressed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
David loves her. My husband, David loves her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, but what I just told you guys that it's early. We don't know enough. And he agreed. He agreed with everything we've just said today. But he said, I've just totally lost my train. Oh, he said, I got the brain fade. Nobody's going to be perfect. There's so many people have things in their backgrounds that we're not going to like.
Everybody. everybody. Yeah. Nobody is perfect. Even if, you know, you yourself were running for office, you'd you'd find things that were less than perfect. It's just the nature of the beast. I'm not looking for perfection.
Of course.
Looking for who is the best candidate and who has the best chance to win against Trump. And there's no way to know that now.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I kept saying last night, I want to see the debates. I want to see the debates because how they handle themselves on a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-12 or a 1-to-20 with other people when they're confronted, when they're challenged, that tells me more than their stupid stump speeches where they're going to sound fantastic. You know, well, we don't have anything to compare. I want to hear them challenge. I want to hear somebody like last night, Jake Tapper started to challenge her.
He did.
And then let it drop.
I was going to say, I did not hear a single tough question from him.
Not a tough question.
Trying to be a comedian. This is the other thing that I find really weird, and is the just the platitudes being heaped upon her from both CNN and MSNBC. It's like she's their chosen candidate.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because it's not only on TV. I look at my Twitter stream, and again, I follow thousands of people. I watch all day, every day, even weekends, and she's anointed. She's becoming anointed. That bothers me.
Me too.
In that isolated thing bothers me. Forget who, even if it wasn't her, if it was Obama again, you know, if it was anyone, nobody at this stage deserves to be anointed. We don't know them. We don't know what will they do when they're in. And even then we won't know. They can promise us what they'll do when they're in, and then things change. Of course they change. That's expected. Because when you get into office, you realize, oh boy, I didn't know this was happening. You know, they get information that we wouldn't know about, or they're up against too many obstacles and they start to cave on this or that, or they maybe get too rigid about what they think and start bumping heads with people. So you never know where it's going to end up and how they're going to be in office, but at least challenge them.
Yeah. You know, let it play out. I'm a big fan of the primary process because it used to be the time that everybody could, you know, get their positions out there. You get to know the candidates. You get to hear them in different circumstances. You get to see the debates. And then you make up your mind. Right now, it is still January of 2019. Election Day isn't until, I think it's November 3rd, 2020. And people are already getting this ugly? This is what has me really freaked out. Well,
this reminds me of having a party and only a couple of people have entered the door and come into the party and they're already drunk and everyone's fighting and we don't even know who the rest of the guests are yet.
Right.
And we don't even know who the people who have already arrived. We don't know anything. We have, hi, how are you? Oh, my name is so-and-so. Who are you? Oh, you're Kamala Harris. And then off you go. You know, we don't know anything about anything yet.
Right.
And people are doing their thing. Anyway, Tweety time. Tweety time. Okay, so Stacey Abrams, yay!
Yep.
Here's a tweet from Jason McGrath. He calls himself Pollster to the Stars in Chicago. I like Stacey Abrams for the State of the Union response, but only because I assume Howard Schultz passed. Howard Schultz passed on it. I thought that was funny because he made a Schultz joke.
I don't think it's funny.
I think it's funny because he would never have been offered.
That's right. Yeah, right.
In a way, though, I'm a little nervous for her because you know how rebuttals are. They're always so embarrassing.
I know, but you know what? She's good.
She
speaks from the heart. And I don't think she'll just be your typical read from the teleprompter looking like a deer and headlights.
I totally agree with that. But I get nervous for her because.
Yeah, well, it's a tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm so excited it's her. That's the one thing Chuck Schumer has done that I'm like, yay.
I know. It surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah. Okay, so here's about the shutdown. You did mention the cost of the shutdown. This is from Jackie Combs of LA Times. Uh-huh. And she says, that it's a little thread. The shutdown cost the economy $11 billion, $3 billion of which is a permanent loss, according to the nonpartisan CBO.
Yep.
They projected economic growth will slow this year to 2.3%, down from 3.1% as the sugar high from the tax cuts abates. And then she goes on to say, the president who promised economic growth of 4% or more will run for re-election in a year when CBO projects growth will decline to 1.7%. More from the CBO. The president who promised he'd erase deficits will run for re-election with deficits having risen every year of his term to a projected more than $1 trillion in fiscal year 20 from $587 billion under Obama. Annual deficits declined after the first global recession year. And finally, Larry Kudlow comes to White House briefing to rebut CBO as too pessimistic on growth, says Trump will lower deficits by 5% across board cuts in non-defense spending, not Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's about $30 billion, a pittance versus deficits, but from domestic spending already cut to lowest level on record. Whew, that was a lot to say, but that's her take. That's what she was reporting. So just a little reporting on what, on numbers,
okay,
on actual numbers.
Yep.
Okay, so this was a thread that Nona Willis Aronowitz, who is she?
I don't
know. An upbeat acoustic cover of Nice for What? I write and edit. Hit me up. Okay. She had this thread on abortion. I want to read it.
Oh, she's the one who said she had an abortion yesterday,
yes,
or something?
Okay. You saw it?
I did. I saw it briefly, yes.
Yeah. It was just a good thread. And I thought, and everyone, she got a lot of hits on it, a lot of sympathetic response. And I would like to read it. So she says, so I had an abortion the other day. And at first I was reading that going, what's the punchline, you know? But no, it was real. She goes, among other things, my experience made me realize just how supremely fucked up these fetal heartbeat bills really are. I meticulously chart my cycle, so I knew I was pregnant right away. At 4.5 weeks, I went to my gyno and was told it was too early for an abortion. They couldn't yet see anything on the ultrasound, which I've never heard of, but okay. She said, I was told to come back in a week. At 5.5 weeks pregnant, I was able to be scheduled for their first available procedure 5 days away. Finally, I went in for my abortion at almost 6.5 weeks pregnant. A heartbeat can often be detected at 6 weeks. Under one of these laws, it could have been too late. I live in abortion-friendly NYC, can afford it, and made my decision literally 1 day after my missed period. If I had to wait that long for an abortion, how the fuck are women supposed to plan for theirs under heartbeat laws? These bills are cruel, disingenuous, evil mind fucks and are designed to send an ominous message, even if they do get struck down by federal judges. Iowa's did, but Florida and Ohio are next. The goal is the Supreme Court. And finally, she says, P.S., I feel a bit nervous and exposed tweeting about my abortion, which just shows how much I've internalized the hush-hush culture around it. But abortion is normal, and restrictive laws like this ignore women's realities so thoroughly. And then she does a hashtag shout about your abortion. Shout your abortion.
Good for her. I mean, I remember being at Netroots Nation 1 year when Elizabeth Warren was there, and the subject of abortion came up, and it was actually, oh God, I can picture her. I can't think of her name. She was running for Congress from Washington.
Fluke? Sandra Fluke?
No.
Fluke?
No, it wasn't Sandra Fluke. It was, she was one of the dirty hippies. I'm drawing a blank on her name. But she was running for Congress from Washington State. And she had everybody in the big room. She admitted that she had had an abortion. And she said the statistics are 1 in 3 women during their childbearing years will have an abortion. She said, if you feel comfortable with it. And she asked everyone, don't applaud. This is nothing to applaud. And please don't take, you know, pictures because this is a matter of privacy. But if you don't mind, if you've had an abortion, please stand. And at least a third of that room stood. It was a really powerful moment. And the thing is, it happens. I wonder, because I'm, you know, too old for that these days. But I warned my daughter that if she's sexually active, she better get on some kind of birth control because the way things are going, they're introducing a heartbeat bill here in Florida. That legally constitutional right to control your body may be taken away. And, you know, you need to protect yourself.
Yeah. No, I mean, they want, now that Trump has stacked the court, they're dying to get their actual cases in. I mean, before it was more of a show.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a wedge issue. Now I think they're gunning for it. So more and more states like that are coming up with things that will be challenged.
Right. And as long as we demonize it, I mean, good for this woman who wrote the post, because mm-hmm. you don't hear a lot about it. People don't, you know, walk around publicizing the fact that they had an abortion. And again, it's an abortion is not something that it's nobody's pro-abortion. They're pro-choice. They're in favor of a woman's right to do with her body what is right for her body and for her family. And I can't believe we are having to have this conversation again.
I know. And people tend to forget that it's painful for the woman to go through. I'm not talking about physically, although that too, I'm sure. I've never had one, but it's emotionally. I mean, you know, I've heard and talked to people, and it's terribly difficult. It's not like the people, like I used to have a joke with somebody online that I'm having 3 abortions today because it's easy. I'm going to bake cookies and have some abortions, you know, because people will make it sound like we just willy nilly think abortions are cool.
Of course. Yeah.
Anyway,
abortion for you, an abortion for you, an abortion for you, abortion
exactly,
for everybody.
Exactly. Okay. So Brett Kavanaugh, this is from The Independent. Somebody tweeted and I've lost their tweet, but The Independent tweeted also, Brett Kavanaugh is likely to be investigated for perjury, House Judiciary member says. A freshman Democrat serving on the committee has told his constituents that the panel will likely investigate claims that Kavanaugh committed perjury. And it was Joe, how do you say his name? Neguse? A Colorado Dem elected in 2018 told them that he could move to impeach the newly appointed justice if their findings prove he knowingly lied.
Okay.
During the confirmation.
Good.
So yay.
Yay.
Yay Dems. Here's a headline that just, you know, has been passed around. By the time I get these to you, you know, most people have seen all this, but it was just, you know, striking. U.S. intel chiefs contradict Trump on North Korea and Iran. And this is from the New York Times. You know, they directly contradicted him. A new American intelligence assessment of global threats has concluded that North Korea is unlikely to give up all of its nuclear stockpile, you think, and that Iran is not currently undertaking the key nuclear weapons development activity needed to make a bomb, directly contradicting Trump. So just wanted to pass that on.
Okay. Well,
you know, news.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Here from you referred to the climate change tweet that Trump
global
tweeted
whamming?
About global whaming or whamming.
Yeah.
Kendall Adian tweeted out, first the intel chiefs have to correct the president, now the weather people, and they retweeted the NOAAClimate.gov tweet where they show the little cartoon. the NOAAClimate.gov tweet was, winter storms don't prove that global warming isn't happening. And the little cartoon is, it's a little teapot out in the ocean that says warmer ocean temps. And then it's blowing steam called more moisture, and that steam goes into a winter storm. It looks like a little cartoon cloud that produces snow.
Okay. Oh, and that's how weather works.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
And then that's how climate change is what it looks like. This is in pictures and little cartoons. The weather is more intense because of climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but storms don't prove that global warming is happening.
No.
But they are a symptom.
But it's the magnitude and the frequency at which these storms are happening. I mean, they were calling them 500-year or 1,000-year storms, and now they're happening every fucking year. That's where climate change comes in, not the fact that there's a big storm, but the magnitude of them, that they're getting bigger and stronger, and they're coming more often.
Fires out here in
everything.
California.
I read a thing today that said, a baby born in January 2019, by the time they're 29, there might not be any saltwater fish left.
Oh, my God. I mean, when I read that, I really have trouble reading stuff like that. I tend to avoid those things because I start to cry. I get out of – that's what upsets
Hello.
Me.
Hello. Welcome to my world. Everything this weekend. It's like, you know, don't even ask. Everything.
Everything.
And it will if we keep talking.
I know. I'll go on. I'll move on. Okay. So Empty Wheel is commenting on this Marshall Cohen tweet. Marshall Cohen is with CNN, and he tweeted, on acting AG Matt Whitaker's comments yesterday about the Mueller investigation, Roy Blunt, Republican Roy Blunt says, well, everybody else seems comfortable talking about the state of that investigation. So I don't know why the AG couldn't as well. The attorney general couldn't as well. And Empty Wheel says, reminder, Jim Comey ostensibly got fired for talking about an ongoing investigation improperly.
Mm-hmm.
So much stupid buzz on Twitter and about this whole, not just on Twitter, but everywhere. On the Whitaker thing. Everybody jumped to conclusions. Half the attorneys are saying, no, he just kind of got nervous and blurted something out. And the other half says, well, what he blurted out might have been true, though. So I'm just waiting and seeing.
I know you listen to his verbal mannerisms, his verbal tips.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Let me just play some of this, because he was the fact that this man is even the acting attorney general is frightening. Listen to his lack of command of the language.
Yes.
And the visual.
The
flop sweat. He was just a nervous wreck. Talk about not taking command of the room.
Now, since you have received your briefings, is there anything that you've seen or read that gives you concern about Special Counsel Robert Mueller or his investigation?
You know, I've been fully briefed on the investigation, and I look forward to Director Mueller delivering the final report. And I really am not going to talk about open and ongoing investigation otherwise, but, you know, sort of the statements that I made were as a private citizen, only with publicly available information. I am comfortable that the decisions that were made are going to be reviewed, either through the various means we have. But right now, you know, the investigation is, close to being completed, and I hope that we can get the report from Director Mueller as soon as we possible.
I don't know who sounds more stupid, him or Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
Oh my God. I mean, that was just painful. Painful.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay.
Apparently unprecedented. Mm-hmm. The fact that as Attorney General, would step up and sort of give a status update on an ongoing investigation.
Oh, I know.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
No, they don't
an absolute
do that.
Idiot. He's an amateur. He should never be in there. All right. MSNBC tweeted about a lot of Republicans abandoning their party. And I'm
really
going to just give you my little recap of it so I don't have to go get the article. Another state lawmaker abandons GOP, joins Dems a week after a state lawmaker. And this one they're talking about was from, I don't even know. I'm not going to go over there. But this is right after a state lawmaker in California made the switch from GOP to Dem. Chief Justice of California Supreme Court switched. And in Kansas, four GOP lawmakers did. And in Hawaii, a former representative and a state representative became Democrats. So a whole lot of Republicans are switching over.
Good.
Which is good and bad. It's good that they're switching to Dem, but I wonder if now we're getting more conservative Dems as a result, or whether they're actually sort of doing a morph, you know? I hope they're evolving properly.
Yep.
That's the only downside to me.
Flake
ruled out a 2020 primary challenge to Trump.
But here's the thing. You know, this is the prime example of this and why we're fucked, because Steve Schmidt, who goes on MSNBC with Nicole Wallace, who I actually grew to like Nicole Wallace, but my opinion of her has gone down exponentially because of her devotion to Steve Schmidt, who talks a good game. I left the Republican Party and you got to vote Democrat. And he's advising Howard Schultz.
Right. Well, but they both have said on air they are non-practicing Republicans. They have never said they were anything else. They just are mad at Trump. They don't like what's happened to the party.
Mm-hmm.
They went independent.
Yep.
But they're Republicans who just don't sign on to the party. It would be like, you know, you and me leaving the Democratic Party because we're mad at them. So,
right. Well, Sahil Kapoor of Bloomberg just tweeted out, Howard Schultz has no desire to play spoiler in 2020, says Bill Burton. Now, you may remember Bill Burton worked for Barack Obama, is now working for Schultz. Quote, he 100% will only run if he sees a viable path. There's no chance he gets in this race if there isn't a path, end quote. To which I replied, I'll cut to the chase for you. He has no shot in hell of doing anything other than playing the spoiler. He needs to get out now.
That's exactly what I said, only not as well. I just said, don't run.
Yep.
That was a short version. So Washington Post is saying that Flake has ruled out a 2020 primary challenge to Trump, and he hopes another Republican runs.
Was anybody ever doubting that this right. would be where Jeff Flake wound up. I mean, I didn't know if it would be CBS or CNN, but he was angling for a TV spot. He wasn't going to run.
I was upset about the Gillum thing.
Never taken a stand on anything. Me too. Talk, you know, and somebody tweeted back at me, oh, he needs a job. Don't begrudge him of it. Yeah, he's another fucking politician. I've grown less and less impressed with Gillum since his loss.
I don't know enough about him to comment. So, you know, anyway, top UN, this is from The Hill tweeting, top UN judge resigns citing shocking interference from Trump administration, Turkey. And here's the explanation. A senior UN judge who worked in one of the body's international courts in The Hague is reportedly resigning over, quote, shocking political interference from the Trump administration and Turkey. The German judge, Christoph Flüge, accused the U.S. of threatening other judges after steps were taken to investigate U.S. soldiers' conduct in Afghanistan, according to The Guardian. He claimed that Turkey's government made baseless accusations against a Turkish judge in order to end his tenure at a U.N. court. And it goes on. So, yay, look what fun we're having. Woohoo! Oh, my God. All right. Ari Berman, Republicans on House Judiciary Committee falsely accusing Dems of stealing elections, but none of them have mentioned massive election fraud committed by GOP in North Carolina 09. Shocking. And then he says, let me repeat this.
Shocking.
Republican members of Congress keep bringing up voter fraud, but continue to ignore the single clearest and largest case of election fraud in 2018 committed by Republicans in North Carolina 09.
District. Yeah, because they talk about voter fraud, which doesn't exist, but they ignore election fraud because they're the perpetrators of it.
Yep. Jonathan Chait is going to get a comment from Nick Hanauer. Jonathan Chait said, embracing true single-payer insurance is a worthy ambition, but massively risky. And Nick Hanauer said, you know what is massively risky? Spending twice as much per person on healthcare as every other advanced society without covering anyone with worse outcomes.
Yep. By the way, speaking of health insurance, you know, with the new year comes a new deductible reset, you know. So I have this Medicaid. You haven't heard me talking much about the fact that I'm not sleeping. My restless legs are bothering me. That's because I've been using those patches again. Well, now that the deductible has reset, the cost for my patches is over $600 a month.
This is why I posted that tweet just now, or read that tweet, because I saw yours, you know, and you told me, and I saw yours. And
so I get to sleep again for about another 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And then all bets are off again.
Congratulations. Yeah. Glad you're having a good day. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, so you reported on, I believe, on the Boing Boing story about Jussie Smollett.
I didn't. Attacked. No, I didn't. So
oh,
let's
you didn't.
Talk
okay,
about
so
this.
I'll read it to you.
You know, it's a horrific story.
It's awful. Empire star. Am I saying his name right? Smollett or is it Smollett?
I honestly, I'd never heard of him before. I never watched Empire. So he's
me
an
neither.
Actor.
So,
he's...
but I'm sorry that this happened. This is so horrible.
Yep.
Empire star Jussie Smollett was victimized in a racist, homophobic, brutal attack in Chicago. He was hospitalized and his condition has not been released. Late last night, this is from, by the way, this is from Jenny Jardin. Late last night in sub-zero temperatures, two white men who appeared to have been waiting for him jumped him, called him a faggot and N-word, hung rope around his neck, poured a chemical, presumed to be bleach, on him and yelled, "This is MAGA country." Trump supporters brutalized a man who was black and gay in Chicago in 2019. They yelled ancient racial slurs and, "This is MAGA country." Donald Trump owns this. Donald Trump supporters own this. Everyone who allows racist and homophobic words to go unchecked in 2019 owns this. Words and actions, words are actions that lead to more actions like this one. And then they go on. So horrific, horrific.
Yes. Unbelievable.
And somebody, of course, a troll jumped on me and said, "Oh, well, Bernie said that the health care is being withheld for millions. And so somebody then attacked somebody." Da, da, da. I said, "Really? Really? How can you blame Trump if Bernie's?" I said,
"Oh, God, stop it. Stop it.
Don't even. And finally, for today's, and this is probably all we'll have to skip yesterday's, today's, Kevin M. Cruz,
Yeah.
Author, historian. Hi there, journalists. I'm a historian who's written about white supremacists. So let me assure you that when a violent attack on an African-American man involves the use of the N-word and the literal placement of a noose around his neck, you can go ahead and call that racist. And hey, you're not going to believe it, but you can also use that term to describe an even wider range of white supremacist activity that doesn't check off every box in the definition of a hate crime. Yep. I know. It might make Tucker Carlson sad. Be brave. Well, this was horrific, and it was horrific. Twitter has lit up about it. I hope they catch these guys.
Oh, I hope so, too. All right. With that, we are done for the day. Thank you. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters and on here every Tuesday. See you
thank
later.
You too.
Bye, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.